this session here and a very long weekend for you guys. This session is deliver a BYOD program / CYOD program that employees and security teams would love using Microsoft Intune. Users, let me start by saying that, they love when nothing changes. You know that. So if you change, you know, just the slightest stuff on their machine or on their devices, they are not in love with you anymore. So we need to figure out a way to avoid that. And the same goes with the security guys. I'm not saying they're super lazy, but those guys, they just don't want to see any changes in the environment or in the infrastructure either. So that's kind of the challenge. My name is Kent Akerlund, and I'm the Chief Technical Architect at Cortec Global. My background for being here on stage today is 20 years of working with enterprise client management. Not all 20 years with Intune. been working with Intune for the last 2 or 3 years, and I would say especially within the last 6 to 12 months, this has really taken off. It took a while, and I've also noticed that there is a huge difference between what we're seeing in Europe and what we're seeing here in the States. Somehow, and for some reason, we're just a little faster in Europe, but now I see it's really taking off here in the States as well. This session is going to be packed with demos. I'm going to look into 5 business cases, meaning 5 real projects that we have done. Some of you have probably seen some of the cool stuff coming out later. Hopefully some of you joined the session Brad Anderson had Monday, where he showed a lot of stuff around conditional access for applications and so on. That will just make our projects even easier as we go along in the future. Before I start my demos, I just want to a few things in here. So why do I want to choose Intune at all? What are some of the lessons that I have learned in these projects? And a lot of these lessons here are actually non-technical lessons, but if I could go back, they would have saved me hours of work and frustration. And then we'll jump into the business cases. So first of all, why do we want to select Intune to be our friend and our fellow companion when we're doing a BYOD project? If we compare Intune to some of the other vendors, I mean, some of the other MDM vendors we have out there, they let's face it, they might be able to do the same, right? You can enable that feature here, you can enable that feature over here in a third-party vendor app. That's not really where I see the big value. The big value is that you can integrate Intune with existing system management systems if you have any. You probably don't want to do that. I'll get back to that in a few slides. But Intune is part of a team. I hope you have seen the Enterprise Mobility Suite in action this week. So you have already seen Azure Active Directory. You have seen the power of Azure Rights Management, and also had a look at the advanced threat analytics in here. When we implement Intune, we always, in all the projects, we go for the low-hanging fruit in, you know, the other elements of the EMS suite. So for instance, password reset. Most of our customers, they want to have a self-service password reset program. Well, that's already there, right? It's not, might not be the reason why you looked at Intune in the first place, but you can do that right now. Multi-factor authentication, it's already there. And we were playing around earlier this week here with multi-factor authentication. And I don't know how many of you actually know that there is an SDK for MFA. So if you want to, you can go in and run your own MFA apps, meaning we can go in and control when we want to run MFA in here. Let me just start that one up. So this is not the most fancy interface, I know that, but I just want to show you that it can be done. So I'll go ahead and click open here, and then let the SDK do the rest. And then I just want to get sound on my phone here. And what happens right now, you don't really want to download this this app because it's hard-coded to call my phone. I don't know if you can hear that, probably. we have done. And for those of you who, goodbye. And for those of you who didn't catch this video yesterday from Julie, see you next year in Orlando. So this is, I mean, even though all of this is cloud, there's still a lot of room for us to go in and integrate our custom solutions, and this is just one of them. But as the key point here is that, you know, not even Wayne Gretzky, and now I can see in the room who's older than 35 because they know him, he would be able to beat a well-organized team by himself, and that's what I mean. Intune, part of EMS, so it's totally unfair to compare Intune with, you know, one of the other vendors. You have to look at the whole picture here. Some of the lessons learned, the top five lessons, and I wish I had learned them a year ago at least. You need to secure a sponsor. So this is not your traditional IT project. I've been, as I mentioned, in enterprise client management for 20 years. I've done a lot of Windows XP installations, Windows 7 installations, and so on. And those projects were always driven by IT. But here, mobile device management is all often driven by a whole other department. So it might not even be the desktop team managing or driving this. So find a sponsor, someone at the C level, someone who can go in and, you know, tell employees that you have to go in this direction. We don't want to discuss that with you. I don't have the power. I'm just the consultant, so I need someone to back me up. Define the data ecosystem. This is a very interesting journey. Some of you today have already defined your data ecosystem. Some of you are thinking, what the hell is he talking about? For those of you, I have a slide coming up here in just a few seconds. Define the starting point. You will most likely not be able to go from not being managed to a fully BYOD environment in 2 weeks. Doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter if you have 20,000 devices, 5,000 devices, or just 1,000 devices. Because a BYOD project, it's not only a technical project, so your employees, they will also have to change their, you know, way of thinking. They need to adjust, and they need to understand that this mobile, it's not really a mobile device, but this mobile device here doesn't, maybe it belongs to them, but there is stuff on this device here that actually belongs to us. And then other IT functions. As you go into the project, you will quickly realize that, hey, I need to have knowledge around PKI. I need to have knowledge around Exchange. I need to have knowledge about how we build, author mobile device applications. So there is a lot of different people involved in this project, and I don't believe that anyone will be able to do this by him or herself. And then there is the platform support. I saw a very interesting article a couple of days ago, and see if I have it here. Let's see if I can bring it up. Otherwise, I have it right here. See if there's any of you who can take a wild guess. Oops. Let's get that one there. So this article here kind of explains and tells us how many different distinct Android devices and that we have out there, and it's 24,000. Those 24,000, they don't behave the same way. So when you have, you know, these many variations, what do you think happens with your project? So, I mean, normally you would have a couple of devices and you're testing, you know, security does like this, email profiles behaves like that, and so on and so forth. And then when you set it out there in the wild, you discover that half of your Android devices are not behaving the way that you thought they would behave. This is why I notice here that there is a difference between bring your own device and bring any device. Luckily, 2 weeks ago, Microsoft announced support for Android for Work, and that will make it so much easier for us to manage those Android devices. I don't know if you had a chance to catch Chris's session Wednesday. He had a full session on Android for Works for work. If you didn't, then I'll give you a little intro there. The data ecosystem. This is a good opportunity for you to sit down and talk to your colleagues, talk to your customers, talk to your partners, and figure out if you can actually classify your data. So who's accessing your data? Is it, you know, employees, external partners, competitors, and so on and so forth? How are they accessing their, your data? Are they accessing data, you know, from any device? And any device, is that also include, you know, all of your Android devices, airports, and so on and so forth? Identity. The apps that you do have, do they support multi-identity? Meaning, is there a difference between my private account when I log into Word and my corporate account when I log into Word? Because if there is no difference, then it's really, really hard for you to actually protect your data. And finally, in here, the age of your documents, the age of your data. When I send out a document, I completely lose control, meaning I send my document to Jose. Jose, he can do whatever he wants to do with that document. He might forward it to someone else, and they will open that document 3 years from now. So I have absolutely no control with the data in there. That might be okay if it's like a birthday invitation, but not if it's corp data again. Develop an MDM adoption strategy. This is kind of the last slide before I go into to my demo mode here. When we start the project, we need to figure out if we are talking about personal or corp-owned devices. This is important. We also need to make a decision about what mobile platform for Microsoft do we want to use. If you have, you know, only limited requirements, you can use Office 365. But if you want to have richer inventory, if you want to have richer application experiences, then you need to move into standalone Intune or hybrid. Hybrid is still using Intune, but hybrid is integrating Intune with Configuration Manager. So if you have Configuration Manager on-prem today, that is an option. But even if you have Config Manager today, that's not the same as you should always integrate Intune with Configuration Manager. I know Config Manager, been working with the app for a while, and I love the project, the product. But when I'm talking about device management and certain Windows 10 projects, then even though I have Config Manager, I would probably, I will recommend using a standalone Intune. Reason for that. We now have, or very soon will have, PowerShell support. So when we go into the new Azure portal, you'll see there that we have PowerShell support, meaning I can create my apps, I can create my policies, and so on and so forth. We will also get better role-based administration, and those were the two major things lacking in the past, and since we have them, or will have them very soon, then I will recommend doing a standalone. Might mean that you have, you know, two different interfaces, but I'm pretty sure you'll figure that out. The business cases. So I have, as I mentioned, five business cases, and they are more or less in five different stages here. So the first one, very basic configuration. So it's a customer. The thing that they want to do is they just want to save time. It might be a bring your own device, as long as that device is an iPhone. I go like to the manager, that's not really a BYOD project. And he says, it is when I tell you. So it is a BYOD project. It's kind of a flavor there. Then we'll move into compliance and conditional access. That's usually number two. So, you know, once we have Intune controlling the device, we also want to make sure that we protect our data. We have probably seen conditional access protecting our mail. So, you know, when you try to create an Exchange Active Sync profile and you're not enrolled, it will actually block you. Microsoft just announced a couple of weeks ago a partnership with Lookup, and they actually also made it into the product here. So I'm going to demonstrate that. Certificate management, That's the big one. So this is, if you want to do BYOD, this is super important, because how are you going to grant access to your internal resources? You're probably going to use a cert. When you use a cert, you want to use a cert for VPN or for wireless. And if it's a wireless access point you want to grant access to, as a consultant, just a good advice, ask them 4, 5, 6, 7 times if they're using a pre-shared secret or a cert. I've twice set up configured NDES, and then it turned out that they were actually just using a pre-shared secret, and that one doesn't use a cert. It's good, it's fun, but it's a waste of time. App management and data leakage. For the fifth customer case, I will actually not be doing anything, because I will bring a very good friend on the stage here who is going to present what they're doing with Intune, Windows Information Protection, and so on and so forth. But let me just go in and present the first business case. So this is the Danish Parliament. And for those of you who have never been in Copenhagen before, you're more than welcome. We have plenty of space. And as I mentioned, what they want to do is they just want to do some basic configuration right now. They do understand that this is a journey, so doing basic configuration today is not the same as we're going to, you know, we're going to stay here. Some of the things that we learned, not only in this project here, but when you're dealing with iOS management, you have to configure an Apple push notification certificate. I'm pretty sure you know about that, those of you who have been working with this. But also Android. You're not really deploying an Android cert, but if you don't have some of the root certs that ships with an Android device, you will actually also get an error. So an Android app, or an Android phone, sorry, can also pop up and say, hey, a cert is missing. The good thing there is a help button, so you just click help, and then it will tell you that, hey, this is the Baltimore cert that you need, and you can see how you in-place that again. Android versions. Don't really have to worry too much about that if we are going to look into Android for work. But if you don't want to use Android at all, then I have a little trick here. Let's see if we can jump into the first demo. So let's just get rid of that. So what I want to do is, since I'm more or less confident that most of you, most of you have already seen the enrollment before. So I'm going to start the enrollment, and then I will talk over the enrollment. But just so you know, I'm not cheating. Not that I would ever do that. But just so you know, I'm not. Just have them side by side here. And if some of you are thinking about the app that I'm using here, then it's called Reflector for Android. So let's start the enrollment process. I already downloaded the company portal just to save some time. And in here, I do have ADFS, but ADFS is not a requirement, not at all. And since this is kind of a production environment and Apple don't really care about privacy, I didn't say that. But I don't want to show my password. So I'll just go ahead and sign in here. And then I will start the enrollment process. So when I'm enrolling my iOS device, what I'm doing here is I'm creating a trust relationship between my device and the Apple service. So I'll just go ahead and begin that. and one of the things that kind of freaks users out that I've seen when we're doing this is if they actually read what it says here, they go like, so my admins, they can see, you know, my app name or operating system. And as I, you know, go ahead and click enroll, the text just gets kind of worse and worse. So all of a sudden they, you know, can see my data, but we can't see their data. But that's, this is where, you know, education comes in. You want to make sure that your end users know what you can do and what you can't do. So this year is just enrolling. I don't really want it. I don't want it there. I want it over here. So just going to hit install. And what I hit while I hit install here, if I go into my Intune portal, then you will notice in here that I have some mobile platform. The first thing you want to take a look at is the mobile device authority, because if someone in your organization signed, you know, did an Office 365 project and they configured Office 365 to be the MDM provider, Intune won't work. Configuration Manager won't work. Calling Microsoft will work. And then you have to ask them to change the provider. If you're doing a POC, that's perfectly okay. It might take a couple of days, but I mean, you will be able to get everything ported here into, see if I can lay it down here without, thank you. The other thing that I mentioned, was the Android for Work support. And if I look at my Android for Work, then what I've done here is I binded my Intune with Android for Work. So you need to have a Google account, and whatever you do, don't use your own account. So kind of create a service account. Once you've done that, you can go in here and select, so does this one here apply to all my devices or only, you know, certain users? So I have a certain user group here while we are testing this. And by the way, Android for Work is not released yet, so there is a public preview program in here. If I go into my policies, then you will notice that I have some basic policies in here. So I have an Android for Work email profile. I have an Android for Work security. And those of you who have been working with Android for Work, you know it's all about creating a secure environment on that specific device. So having some boundaries there that won't allow company data to go in and mix with the personal profile. So that's what we can do right now. Oh, we will be able to do. As you can see here in the background, I'm just getting a password requirement. one of the challenges maybe a year and a half ago for those of you who did Intune back then was time. It's really super crucial that, you know, when you enroll a device, things are happening like that. It didn't happen like that. Sometimes it could, you know, take maybe 8-10 minutes before I got all my policies. Now, as you can see here, as soon as I enroll my device, I will actually get my policies. So now I have my company access here. No, I don't want to raid the app. And I have my password requirement. Can you all close your eyes? Thank you. And when I get into my mail, you'll see here that it's prompting for my mail. So I also got my email profile. So these are, I would say, you know, just very basic settings. All in all, getting basic settings like this configured doesn't take you more than, you know, maybe a couple of days in a POC to set it up. You don't need ADFS for testing this. This is, as I said, very basic. As we progress here and start talking about certificates, then you probably want to have an ADFS. You need a web application proxy and so on and so forth. But getting started, fairly easy. So the second project. And this is where it gets interesting, because this organization here is a group of engineers. So when you have a group of engineers, you also have maybe not 24,000 different Android versions, but you have a lot. And this is where we ran into some issues, because some wouldn't, you know, we couldn't deploy a mail profile to some of them, and to others we couldn't. The security policies we tried to deploy, they simply didn't apply. But that will all change now. One of the things that they wanted to do was they wanted to integrate this with conditional access. And those of you who have been working with conditional access, you know, when I try to create a profile myself, what happens in the background is that we will start to communicate with the Intune service. I'm clicking here. But we'll start to communicate with the Intune service to figure out if my device is enrolled and compliant. And if I'm not enrolled and compliant, then I will just be put into quarantine. And I will get a mail saying, sorry, sir, we can't, you know, we can't grant you an email profile here. In the mail, there will be a link, and it will, you know, route me to the company portal, or sorry, to the app store, and then I can download the company portal and start enrolling. This is super interesting, and it works really great when we have Office 365. Now, some of you might have older Exchange versions, so you might have Exchange 2013 or even 2010. I know these PowerShell codes here, commandlets, I'm not going to ask you about them after the session, so they will be in the slide deck, plus I will also make sure that you get the code itself, so I'll just send a tweet out or something like that. But when you go to TechNet will tell you, well, when you create the connector, if you have an on-prem, there will be a service account. That service account requires, and then they list, I believe it's like 13 different commandlets. The thing is that you don't have a pre-built Exchange role, so you have to either, you know, go in and grant, you know, all the rights, or you have to, you know, go in and be very precise. This Exchange, these commandlets here, will go in and configure exactly the permissions that you need. So, I mean, if I had them the very first project, it would have saved me a lot of time. And also, this one down here, where I'm actually testing that my service account do have the right permissions, that one is very important. For those of you in an enterprise organization, you know you can't configure this yourself, so you hand it over to the Exchange team, and they go, yeah, we're going to configure that for you, and then you don't hear anything from them for, you know, about a week, and you're just waiting. And then all of a sudden they go, yeah, now it's working. And you're testing, it's still not working, right? So much easier to have something where you can say, okay, guys, this is not working. Can you please go fix? And by the way, Exchange folks, they're friendly. Okay, so in this example, conditional access. A quick demo here. The traditional conditional access, if you have never seen that. If I can get this one up. Can I just have you all switch off, go off the Wi-Fi? I think it's in the background there. There you go. There you are. So what I have here is, see if I have my mail application. I already did that. When I tested this yesterday, I tried to create an Exchange ActiveSync account, and it didn't work. So what will happen is I get this mail here, and it will say, Ken, sorry, you can't do that. You have to follow this Get It Started guide, and then I just follow that. This one here will take me to the App Store, and then I can download and start enrolling the device. So this one here we've probably seen. Let me just turn this one off here. The other one that I want to show you is on my, let's see where I have it here, on my Android device. And on my Android device, if you want to play around with this, I'm using an application called Visor. So, you know, just enable USB monitoring, and then it works. So let me go into my company portal. This device here is already enrolled. And while that one is running, what I want to do is I just want to go in and show you the compliance policy that I have. That's this one here. So you can see, I don't know if you can see that, but it tells me that my device is compliant. So it's compliant with the policies that we have. And if I look at those the compliance policies, just edit them, then I have a compliance policy down here called Device Threat Protection. So this Device Threat Protection, this is an integration, a third-party integration with Lookup. What I have on my Android device now is I have a Lookup application. That Lookup application was automatically forced to my Android device when I enrolled it. And this Lookup application will go in and figure out if there is any security threats on my device. So if I go to my Android here, oops, the code is 123 and I still forgot it. That's kind of fantastic, right? So if I go in here and then go to the Google Play Store, in the Google Play Store, just do a search for ICA, and then you can go ahead and install one of the many examples that they have. So right now I'm just installing this antivirus, and you can see Lookup instantly figures that out and say, hey, you're not compliant, you need to do something about that. Let me just close this and then go back into my company portal again. So in the company portal, if I go back in here and do another search for compliance, then it will tell me that, hey, this device here is non-compliant. Report that back, and then it will automatically revoke access to my email and what have you. So let me just check for compliance. It might take a few minutes. If you have any questions while I'm kind of checking for compliance, by all means, just go to the mic or maybe shout the question. I will repeat it if I can hear it. So the Lookup integration here, while that one is checking.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have to run the compliance check to revoke the access?
No. So the question is, if I have to go in and manually run the compliance check, I don't have to do that. The only reason why I'm doing that in here is because I don't want to wait for the automatic compliance check to kick in. So that was a good question. For good questions, for the first three of them, I have a enterprise mobility book. I can just have one of all the way in the back there. So you have a free book there. And you only get a free book if I can actually answer the question. So no tricky questions. if I go to my third-party integration here, you'll see I have something called Lookout status. And you can see my status here is active. So I have a Lookout. I have integrated Lookout. There is a specific Lookout admin portal where I would go in and configure, you know, the different threats, the details. So when is something medium, when is something severe, when is something low, and so on and so forth. So here in Intune, what I'm doing is I'm just configuring the compliance policies, and then I'm configuring the integration. So while that one is running, if I go back here to my policy, under normal circumstances, I would have this my device threat protection compliance policy. I would have that mixed together with the other ones, but here it's simply just to show you that we have this new integration, And if I just zoom up there, you'll see I have none, which is secured, low, medium, and high, and you can control all of those states in the console. If I go back to my phone, you'll see here that this device does not comply with the following organization policies. And then when I click here, can't see that, but when I click here, you can now see that I can open up Lookout and then, you know, resolve the issue. So if I go into Lookout here, uninstall this, and then again, if I ran compliance again, it would become compliant. I don't want to do that. That's where I kind of hope that you trust me. But this is pretty neat. It's pretty neat for many different reasons. It's neat because, I mean, it's security. So the security department will love that. Me as an end user, I will love this. But it's also neat for partners to know that, hey, you can actually go in and integrate with Intune. So even though it's a cloud service, Microsoft do allow partners to hook in there. And I find that super interesting. And if we do a parallel with Configuration Manager back in the days, one of the many reasons why that product has become so popular is because of all the integration we have with third-party vendors. So when they open up the same here for Intune, it's going to be a pure joy. Okie dokie. So now we have conditional access. We have basic configuration. The third thing we want to do now is we want to take a look at certificate deployment. When we are deploying certificates, the first thing we should ask is always why. So why are you deploying a cert? Because when you ask that question, your team will answer and say, well, that's because we have a VPN client. That VPN client requires a cert in order, you know, as part of the authentication process. The second question you have to ask is, okay, so what are the cert requirements? Often you don't get those requirements, and then you start, you know, creating cert templates, and it's all in the blind, it doesn't work, and then it's just very basic requirements you never got. When we do certificates, if it is a user-based certificate, then this is the workflow, and the workflow here is very important. So this customer here, they had it integrated with Configuration Manager, but the workflow is more or less the same for standalone Intune. So the first thing we'll do is we'll create a profile in Config Manager. That profile is sent to the Intune service, and it's used to create a challenge, okay? So remember the challenge, because the challenge is very important. The device will get that challenge, and along with the policy that we download, there will also be a URL for the public index. That's a second test. So that URL is also super important. Now the device will take the information, connect to the index server, and then you'll know this is my challenge response. So you have a challenge, you have a public index, and you have a response. Internally, in this, if it's Configuration Manager, we'll have a specific site system role called a certificate registration point. So the certificate registration point will validate the challenge and give a yes or a no, all depending on, you know, the challenge in here. And then we issue the cert. This is super complicated if you have never worked with this, because there are so many different moving parts. And we require a PKI in here. So this is where you need to have a PKI expert. When you start working with this, you'll also realize that it didn't really work the way you expected it to work. And in order for you to be able to troubleshoot, you need to figure out, so where did it actually fail? So knowing exactly, did it fail on the URL? Is it the public index? Is it your web application proxy? The internal port where it's not open between that and the index, and so on and so forth. You need to be able to figure that out. I'll give you a hint when I go into the demo here. Some useful tips when you start this: if it's a root certificate that you need to deploy, forget about it. It's super easy. You know, it doesn't require index. You just go ahead and create a cert profile and then deploy that. You need to know the cert requirements. That was what I was telling you. So if we rely on the common name or the distinguished name, all of that. And then remember, Wi-Fi profiles can, you know, they can use pre-shared secrets or they can use a certificate. If it's a pre-shared secret, when you go into the console, there is no way in, or nowhere in the console where you can actually type in the password. So you have to generate an XML file where you have the entire cert profile with the password authentication and so on. There are some very easy steps to do that. I'm going to show you that as well. And then you want to watch out for your fully distinguished name as the subject name. So if your VPN solution requires a fully distinguished name as the subject name, and your naming standard in Active Directory is like this, last name, comma, first name, then you will run into an issue with the challenge. Because we are using the distinguished name in there, but as you can see in the challenge here, we actually have an extra comma, so it sees this as two different text strings. We'll never issue a certificate then. So that's that can be a challenge. I added the example architectures for you to, you know, kind of look at when you go back and download the slide deck here. Let me show you a couple of things. So the first one, if I want to create a Wi-Fi profile, let's say you have a Windows device. A Windows device is as simple as going into PowerShell, do your NetShell VLAN show profiles. When you do that, it will show you all the profiles that you have in here. Once you have done that, you simply do an export of that profile. So in this example here, we'll export the Microsoft Wi-Fi. So for those of you who do not have the password yet, I will show you that in a few minutes. And then you can enjoy free Wi-Fi for the last 32 minutes of the conference. So I'm exporting that. I'm exporting that into my temp folder. And here you go. So down here in my temp folder, I will have the Microsoft Wi-Fi password. And there you go. I have everything in here. So I have the encryption, I have the password, and so on and so forth. So what I do now is I go back into Intune, and then I create a profile in there, a Wi-Fi profile, and I import this XML file here. So let's just go to Intune. So in Intune here, I can create a new profile. So I'll do a Wi-Fi import, create my profile. And here I would simply go ahead and import my, there you go, my XML file. So when I start the, when I deploy this, it will automatically use the pre-shared secret and you're good to go. If it's an iOS device that you have, then it's a little different in the sense that you can't, you know, just go ahead and export a profile from your Windows laptop. What you have to do instead is, just do a search here for iOS. kind of the same, but here what I've done is I have on my MacBook, I have used the Apple Configurator. So in the Apple Configurator, you go in and then you simply build it in there and you export that XML file. So once you've done that, you just import it in here. For Android, I have a link at the end of this where you can see a website. So there is a third-party tool. You can just there is a website there where you can just type in your pre-shared secret, and you can type in your SSID, and then it will generate the XML file for you. And it works kind of the same as we do in here. Okay, now. For when we talk in this, then it's a. I don't want to close that. Let me just minimize that. Then it's different. I mentioned that we do have a lot of different checks, and what we have done here is we have a little test tool. We haven't published this yet, but we will publish it. But we have a test tool where you can go in and say, okay, so what is my my internal FQDN, because if you can't connect to that one, I mean, your device and so on, that the whole process won't work. So this one here, what is my internal FQDN for that? My external FQDN. And then I will go ahead and run the test. So one of the things that it's going to do now is it's going to make sure that I can actually connect to my internal web application proxy server. That's the reason why it's prompting me for a username and password. So I'm just going to use my own. And then I hope I have permissions. It's not always I have permissions to the internal production environment back home, because I'm always giving my passwords away. Somehow they say it's not that secure. So while that is running, because it will take a couple of minutes maybe to run that test, then let me just go in here in the company portal. So in the company portal here, I just want to sign in. And I know you can see my password. So I'm just going to do like this. I don't think there is anything wrong with our index server. I think the fully qualified domain is missing a .dk. But that's OK. Now we can see that the test tool is working. There you go. So this should just start, you know, enrolling. And while that one is enrolling, I can just add and start the test again here. There you are. So begin the enrollment process. And enroll that. So some of the things that we are testing here is the enrollment process. And what you can do is you can go into registry. So if you're testing this on a Windows 10 device, and I highly recommend that you do that the first time, you will see in registry that, okay, we are creating these keys and we'll publish those keys after the session as well. You can also see you get the certificate. You can see the log files on the information server. And if you are like me here, running this against my internal server, I also have the certificate registration point log file. And in there, I should be able to see that there is a challenge. So this is old information, but I haven't finished the install yet. And this is another thing that is kind of super, super important when we're doing a BYOD or whatever project. I mean, when I start enrolling these devices here, I know that we have the internet connection. We can't really control that. But what we can control is that, you know, the speed of which we get the Wi-Fi profile, the certificate, the email profile, and so on and so forth. So once this here is done installing, and I do allow remote management, then it has to be within 60 to 90 seconds that I, as an end user, can walk away with the device. Otherwise, this will never really become a success. I know that 60 to 90 seconds is absolutely something we can achieve, because I'm seeing this all the time. I mean, it goes very snappy. One thing you want to do is you want to deploy your certificates, your profiles, and all of that to end users. You never, ever want to do that to the device. Because if you do it to the device, it has to be, you know, first enrolled into Intune. We need to figure out in what group it is, and then we can go ahead and deploy that certificate there. So now my device is enrolled. And if I go in and take a look at the profile in here, this profile here should just slowly start to build. Some of the certs that you find in here, you might see that the cert is going to expire in just a couple of weeks. That's perfectly okay. Some of the certs we're only using, the iOS cert, for instance, we're only using that while we're actually enrolling the device. There you go. So there I got my application. So here I have my Skip profile. And I don't know if you did it move over here at all. You have my you definitely don't want my password to my email here. So let me just punch that in. If you get my password to my mail, the only thing you have to promise me is that you answer all of those mails. Then that would be okay for me. Okay. So so now you can see I have my you can see here I have my restrictions. So I have my passcode. I have some of the apps already, so we're using an app called Harvest here. And then I have more details, and these are the details about my cert. And here you can see I have my my cert already. So there you go. I just get rid of that one there. So kind of the takeaway from that is being able to create the pre-shared secrets, because I know a lot of you are using pre-shared secrets, and also the index. So knowing the process there and having an index tool. I do have the checks that we're doing in the UI, so I will also publish those checks later. It might not be right after the session, but I promise that I will do it next week. So the fourth business case here is, now we are talking data leakage. So this company here, they have a lot of sales guys, and these sales guys here, they're using Excel spreadsheet, but once in a while, some of them actually stop working for the organization, and then they start working for another organization. And we wanna make sure that those sales numbers and price list and what have they, that they don't follow them. So this is where we are using managed applications. And when we are talking managed applications, you know, we have all sorts of different applications. We have the store apps, we have the line of business apps, we have the licensed apps. There's been a lot of sessions around the different app stores in here. We have managed apps, so those are apps that are, you know, already MAM-enabled from Microsoft, or it's apps that you MAM-enable by using either an app wrapper or the SDK. And then you also have managed apps that don't even require an enrollment. And especially the managed apps that don't even require an enrollment, that's kind of the key to a real BYOD project here. So those of you who haven't seen that, see, let me get back in here. So in the new Azure portal, when you go into more services, then you also have Intune in here. So with Intune, you'll see here that I have something called app management. So now you just picture that you have a case where you might have another MDM provider already installed on the device, and you can only be one. So if you want to protect your data on that device, then you can use agentless MAM enrollment here. So when I have my app policy, I will go in, and I already created one here for iOS. So you can see these are these are the applications that I currently manage. And when I manage these apps, it means that if you go in and sign in to any of these applications using your corp credentials, then we will protect and encrypt those data, and we'll make sure that we have a policy. If we look at the policy settings here. We'll make sure that we have a policy where you can go in and say, well, in order for you to access the application or the data using your corp credentials, you know, you need to use a fingerprint or you need to use a passcode, and we will also prevent you from copying and pasting. And then another very, very important thing, the offline number of days before we will actually wipe the data. So if you haven't, you know, been using this device for more than, in this example, 1 day, that's not the default value, but I'm kind of aggressive, then we will go ahead and wipe the wipe, not the device. That would be fun though, if you borrowed your mother's iPhone for a while and then 2 days later it's wiped. it is not like that. See here what that looks like in the real world. I'll just do a quick demo of that. So we have Outlook, and in Outlook I already have my my personal account. So if you want to, you know, read my mails or send me a mail while being on stage, that's perfectly okay. I can go into settings and add an account. So go in and add an email. And I will add in Henrik.
Hello.
Yeah.
Just wanted to pick you up on something there.
Yeah.
You said about your mother's iPhone.
Yeah. I, to be honest, I don't know if she has an iPhone.
Not the point. You were showing on the without enrollment.
Yep.
I actually had, well, two questions about how many people are using that. But you said you had a wipe application setting of 1 day. Wouldn't it be fun if I use my mum's phone and I don't use it for a day and then suddenly her phone gets wiped?
I mean, it won't get wiped.
Exactly. That's what you implied.
Yeah, I think
You mean you can wipe the corporate data, the device, the application,
exactly,
but not the whole device?
Exactly.
Right, because that's without enrollment.
Yeah, I know that, yeah. So hopefully I made my point clear, because I know I said that in the beginning, but then I kind of, you know, took it back again, because of course you're not going to wipe my mother's phone.
Yeah.
Hopefully you won't do that. So as you can see here, when I enroll this, what it will do, and by the way, if we can just have, here you go, I'm not bringing those back. So when I enrolled this, or not enrolled it, but when I signed into the app using my credentials here, it told me about the policy, and then it also asked me to, you know, go ahead and restart the app. And now I have to supply my credentials. So I'll just go in and add a six-digit PIN code. That's what I have in my policy.
I have a follow-up question there.
Yeah.
Can you make exceptions to the rule to wipe after a certain amount of days? For example, if I'm in the US and I don't want to have to download all the data while here.
So the first of all, 1 day is very, I mean, that's very aggressive. You probably don't want to do that. But it's a policy that you target to a user or a group of users. So that's, you can't make any geo exceptions, so no. But you would probably never have 1 day though. Cool, you know what, you're getting the last book that I have. So this is a corporate mail that I mailed myself. And as you can see in here, this is very important information. So if I go in and copy that, and then just go back, create me a new mail, Notice, I don't know if you can see that, but now I'm using my Outlook account. So if I go in here, you'll see that I don't have any paste option. And as soon as I switch to my EMS Kings account, then I will have the paste option. I don't install the application. That's not my responsibility. I only apply the policies. So in Intune in there, when we had the apps, I didn't install the application. I was just, as I said, applying the policy. Let me get rid of this. I think there was the first question there is, I think you asked if someone is using this. Is that correct? And this is still in preview. It's in a public preview though. But hopefully we'll start seeing more and more of this. But okay. So the question was, so how many are actually using BYOD without enrollment versus with enrollment? And that's a pretty good question, because that's kind of what I want to also highlight in here. BYOD using Intune, I mean, we have only been able to do that with enrollment. And a lot of you will say, hey, that's not true BYOD, and then you'll, you know, search for BYOD and you'll see that it doesn't require any enrollment, and you're absolutely right about that. But BYOD to me is a journey, and even though you might not be ready in your organization to, you know, start a true BYOD project today, I'll definitely recommend that you go back, start looking at all the Intune options, and when we start moving into the Azure portal, then we can also satisfy those. But most of the projects that we have done, they are all been with an enrolled device, because that's the only option we have had. With that, I would like to bring up a good friend here on stage, Jose, who is going to talk about their business case and also why they have been using Intune.
Okay.
So this is what 1,000 people looks like.
Ah. Interesting.
We have 1,000 signed up.
Yes.
Probably not 1,000 showing up.
It's the thought that counts, I guess. Okay. Well, Doc Kent, for the invitation. That is my one Danish word that I know, so please no, do not quiz me on any more Danish. Just give me a sec here.
So how many of you are waiting, just to follow up on that question while Jose gets ready, for the BYOD without enrollment before you go ahead and start? Is there, yeah. I totally get that point, because that is just another business requirement.
All right. Okay. My name is Jose Martin Cosme, and I work for Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. So just a quick intro as to who we are, in case you guys haven't heard of us. We are a Fortune 250 global mutual company, which is owned by its policyholders. We have an offering of about from life insurance to disability, income insurance, just to name a few. We have approximately 8,000 employees in a network of over 3,000 financial representatives, which we refer to them as field agency users, and more than 70 agencies nationwide. I work in an area that's called the Office of the Chief Technology Officer, OCTO for short, and I'm a member, well, my direct department within OCTO is actually responsible for researching, evaluating, prototyping technologies that's actually going to enhance Guardian's overall user compute experience. So that business case there that you see, it really revolves around two things, two distinctions here. The user community that's requiring this type of solution, which I'm going to speak of, and the actual requirement itself. So I'm going to provide a little context just to kind of elaborate this user community that we're going to speak of. This user community is called the Field Agency Users. They are spread across the country nationwide. They are consist of small agencies, well, small to large agencies. They are privately owned. Their agencies range from anywhere from a two-person shop all the way up to 400 people. They have their own IT staff, and it's a BYOD type of environment. I mean, they, you know, laptops, desktops, mobile devices, you name it, they have it. So we were tasked to kind of solution one of their main drivers or requirements, which I'm going to, can we go to the next slide?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, they came to us and asked us, well, we really want to use the Outlook client. And we came back to them and said, why? You know, we have OWA, we have Outlook 365. They came back to us with several shortcomings, limitations that they were experiencing with OWA. First one is mail. They wanted the ability to send and save email. So this is really surrounding the offices that use shared mailboxes. So the larger offices, they have people just kind of going in these generic or these shared mailboxes. They want to be able to save and properly organize emails according to their customers or whatnot. The second OWA shortcoming was surrounding calendar. These are what we call our road warriors. So they really don't have time to, you know, just go through, fidget through applications. So in Outlook, they were used to, when they're in a calendar invite, they could just go click on the OneNote icon and they're ready to go. So that was another missing feature within OWA. The third item was contacts. So we migrated them from another platform over to the O365. And during this migration, as typical migrations go, you'll see some duplications. So within OWA, within the contact session of OWA, there wasn't an easy way to deduplicate contacts. So another check mark that needed to be addressed. And finally, tasks. There wasn't a clear way to kind of delegate tasks, and this is in particular around the agencies that had office managers that kind of wanted to just quickly delegate tasks to their staff members. So agencies came to us and said, we wanted to use Outlook client. The challenge that we had was, okay, we'll let you use the client, but how do we prevent them from actually saving their email to a PSD file? That was one of the biggest challenges, and which actually led us over to leverage Intune. In this early journey, so we're in the process of prototyping Intune now with a few of these agency offices. During this early stage, we also encountered a kind of a value add, you could say, which is within Intune, we were also able to, with the proper configuration policies and the proper settings, we're able to have the ability to enforce and ensure accurate reporting that the devices that we're testing on also adhere to corporate policy. So right now we have another software that does that. So if you can actually get this additional value from Intune, I mean, that's just the bonus. So that's what we're kind of encountering now. With that being said, I think we're going to just jump into a demo. And just kind of quickly, these aren't all the policies that we have in Intune. But we'll just go kind of highlight a few.
So here you go.
Okay. For the purposes of the demo, we're going to be using Exchange Online, but for the prototype phase of these agency users, they're actually using the full-blown, obviously, Outlook 2016 client.
Just to demonstrate how superior Jose is, I gave him a Danish keyboard.
Uh-oh. Okay. Hopefully I don't reveal any Kent secrets with this. No? Okay. So what we allowed the agency users to do is, as they interact with Outlook, we have some policies where we have some WIP policies where we say, this is your Outlook client, these are the applications that we allowed you to kind of interact data with. So I'm going to demo one of the policies which we say we allow Outlook and we allow Notepad to kind of share data between both applications. So say user is, I got Notepad. Is this policy enabled, Kent? Let's see. As you see, you immediately see that briefcase that kind of tells you that that application is defined in the WIP and that the user can seamlessly, without any issues, just continue, you know, copy and pasting their data and continue on with their work function. This next quick demo would be just some of the settings that we've enabled where we wouldn't allow them to kind of interact with that with certain applications. Other companies use, you know, different applications. For the purpose of the demo, we've done WordPad, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we haven't.
So I'm just going to highlight another piece of info. You may have seen this again demoed during the week throughout other talks. And we have here, where's your P in keyboard? Excellent. Yes, it is. So, and then you get this prompt, which is saying, look, you're trying to copy this data, but it's not configured in your policies. So therefore, user can't proceed in copying that data over to that application that wasn't defined in your policies. Kind of pretty straightforward configurations. Again, we're still in the early kind of prototyping phase. So these are just some of the policies that we're right now enabling in this small subset of test users.
Yep.
So if you want to go to the dashboard of the Intune and show them some of the other settings.
So the setting we have in here is, just quickly to show you that. And I have a big clock up here, so I can tell you that there is officially 2 minutes and 30 seconds left of
pressure. Yes.
Ignite. But the settings you will see in here is that we have some application rules. And these application rules here are the apps that Jose just mentioned. Those are the ones where we allow you can, you know, move, copy, paste your core data between. And there is a little thing around these, because I only, if you look at mine here, I just added in, it says Microsoft in Danish, and Microsoft OneNote and Notepad.
Yes. So we found out with working in Intune, and this is, we have an open ticket with Microsoft, so in case you guys wanted to try this, if you do want to use your WIP rules, you have to add applications that are going to establish a TLS session. So not just browsers, but any application that initiates the TLS session out. There is an open ticket with Microsoft. Microsoft does know about this, and we are working with them to resolve it. So if you're going to use this, you're going to use WIPs, you have to put in all your browsers. Any browsers, you know, so we have, what we're using today is Chrome, Mozilla, and Edge and IE. Those are the browsers that we've included them in the WIPs today. So that's just an FYI kind of a for you guys to consider until it's resolved.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll simply get an error.
Yeah, you'll just get a prompt error, and then you're just gonna be banging your head and saying, you know, what's going on. So definitely, just put your browsers in this WIP, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah. With that, still 60 more seconds to go. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kent. Take care.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
So here are some of the links. I'll make sure, I mean, this will also be in the download, but I'll make sure that I tweet some of them, especially the one around creating Android profiles. I mentioned that, but also around troubleshooting. Some of the questions I have gotten this week here is like, so now when we're working with mobile devices, there are no log files. There are plenty of log files, and you can use CMTrace to troubleshoot your Android log files and what have you. There are plenty of opportunities to go in and troubleshoot here, even though we are working in the cloud. With that, check out the other sessions. Please remember to evaluate not only this session, but also the overall conference. Personally, me, and no one has paid me to say this, but this has actually been one of the best Ignites / tickets that I have attended myself for many, many years. So I look forward to Orlando next year. Thanks for coming.